I just love that. It's a gift that you just give to the Lord.
Amen.
I want to speak to you on a simple thought tonight of glorified through victory. Glorified through victory. And she'll have this on the multimedia, St. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. And it come, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace that you put into our life. We ask you that you would come now, Lord, and anybody can open these Bibles, Lord, but only you can bring it out. You can bring it to life, Lord, and you're the one that makes it happen. Lord, we are 100% depending on you to be here tonight. Lord, to break bread with us, Lord, that each person can leave the house of God feeling fed, Lord, feeling edified in their spirit, Lord, and have a little coal burning in their heart to the next service, Lord, until we take that body change. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. This man was born blind. And, you know, we think about a lot of trials that we have in this life and a lot of shortcomings that a person can have, but thank the Lord we've never had that. I never had to go through that of going blind. I've seen the videos that they'll have of someone being colorblind. I mean, you can still see, but you're colorblind. And they'd give them the glass, special glasses that they could see, and it just you'll be crying real quick with them, you know, because they begin to cry to see the colors and all the things because they never saw it before. But this man was a man that was born blind, and it was a logical question, I guess you could say, when they asked, for what reason was this man born blind? For what reason was this? Was it his sin? Was it his parents' sin? Whose sin was it? And Jesus, as we read in the scriptures, brought the alarming text to us of saying it was neither because of them, it was that God could do a work. And that's a lot of times why we go through trials. That's a lot of times why we'll have that, is so God can get glory
right
through us. Amen. And you know, in this life, every person in this life has got a position. You've got a position in this life. And you have to own that position, because if you don't, it will be tarnished or it will be taken away from you. And what I mean is, like on a football field, there's a position. And what I would tell the boys when they play football, I tell them, you got to remember something. This is your field. And wherever you're standing in that position, that's your position. And that other player has got the animosity that he's going to come into your territory. This is your house. This is your position. And he has no right to come through you, because that is your position.
Yeah.
And I really take that scripturally because and spiritually, because brothers and sisters, we have a position in this word. And the devil will try with animosity to come into our territory,
yeah,
to come into our house and try to come in here. Who does he think he is? This is our house. God gave us this house. When God purchased us, God paid the price. God, you know, he did everything he needed to do that we could have victory. I love that in the scripture. It says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physicians here? Why are my people being healed? Brothers and sisters, we should have victory in our lives.
lives because God has given us. Amen.
But
in that, you have a position and you have to protect that position because that position is yours and you have to be the one that proves that's who you are. Amen. And it's actually God through you. When the opposing team comes into your territory, they are opposing who you are in your position. And that's the way it is in this life. When Delilah come against Samson with her affection, the enemy was challenging his position. It wasn't Delilah, it was the enemy. I think that's very important to always remember, Delilah is not the enemy.
Yeah.
Satan's the enemy.
Right.
Amen? And you know, our neighbor's not our enemy. Our boss is not the enemy. Our husband or our wife is not the enemy.
Right.
Our pastor is not the enemy.
Yeah.
The devil is our enemy. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, as the Selahs, is whenever this attack was coming towards Samson, it was an attack against his position of who he was. And we will have opposition to test us. Amen?
Yeah.
When obstacles come against a couple, the obstacle is opposing the position of that couple. When a slicker comes in with a light affection toward a man or a woman, because you know what will happen is a woman, maybe she won't feel the affection that she needs from her husband, and that slicker will watch for that. And that's an open door for him to all of a sudden he'll start to show that affection. What's he trying to do? He's a slicker. He's trying to slick through there and take the position of somebody else. It's a slicker.
Yeah.
And it's man and woman. And that's exactly how Satan does. He's a slicker. You know, there's affection. God gives us affection in the way that we need it. But a lot of times we love that feeling, that lovey-dovey. Is that right? We love that touch of the Holy Ghost all the time. But you're not always going to have that. And the devil will come through at you at that time. He will come as a slicker. What's he trying to do? He'll say, I'll give you some affection. I'll give you some love. I'll give you a way to do this. What's he trying to do? You've got a craving for affection. You've got a craving for a touch of the Lord. You've got a craving of a feeling. But sometimes God wants you to not look at the feeling, but you've got to come into maturity of what he's called you to. He's called you to be his wife. Not just because of a feeling, but because you love him. Amen? Satan is a slicker. The opposition will come against you. He'll come against family and their finances. He'll come against you in your goals, of your vision that you have in your family. You will face oppression. What's it doing? It's attacking your position of who you are. Amen?
Right.
Jeremiah says, the Lord will search the reins of the heart of man. You know, you hear so many times people say, trust your heart. Just follow your heart. Don't ever do that.
That's right.
Because that will deceive you.
Yeah.
There's many, many, many women, young girls today that are pregnant, in a terrible marriage, and all these different things. Why? Because they follow their heart.
That's right.
Because your heart will deceive you. We've got to have something that's solid and steadfast. It's the rock of ages. It's defeated every devil. You know, it's talking about the prophet beat the devil 7 times going around the world. This thing's been beating the devil a whole lot longer than that.
Right.
And the only way the devil beat him was using this right here, brothers and sisters. Amen. We can defeat the devil with this thing right here. We cannot just follow your heart. Make sure your heart is lining up with this.
Right.
Amen. That's right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We will be challenged in our position through the thoughts of our mind. You have a position. I am a son of God. A woman, your sister, you are a daughter of God. And that there's a position you have in that. And that position has a radiance about it. There's something about a godly woman that's dressed godly, or a godly boy, a godly man that's dressed godly. They have a radiance about them. That's a position that they have. And whenever you stand in that position, there's something about it. It has a radiance about it. I don't have any other way to explain it. There's something about it, but the devil will come against that position, and he'll do it through the mind. Yeah. He will bring thoughts into your mind, and this is one of the greatest battlegrounds. The devil loves to get you in a valley of saying, how can you have the Holy Ghost when you have that bad, nasty thought come to your mind? You were thinking this evil thought, you evil hypocrite. You can't control a thought that comes to your mind. Those thoughts will come to your mind, but what do? We do what the Word says, cast down those imaginations. When those thoughts come and it says, you're not good enough, you got this, you got this failure, look at the fault in them, look at this, imaginations. Bombarded. You know, there's 200 million devils coming in against us nonstop.
Yeah.
And it's going to come right here. And it's not a flesh and blood warfare. It is a spiritual warfare. You know, and I feel the Lord lead me to say this again. Our brother, our neighbor, our family is not our enemy.
Right.
It's the devil. And we must remember that. That we are to have that hand reached down that we can pull them up out of what they're in. Because you know what? They don't know that they're bound. I want to preach a Lord willing here soon on unfelt shackles. That the Lord will show me. A lot of times people are bound by shackles and they don't even know that they're bound. And that's the best way to bind somebody. The devil's pretty smart. He'll bind somebody and they don't even know. They're Brother Daniel, what are you talking about? Brother, Scripture says they'll be blind, naked, and wretched and don't even know it. You can have someone that's naked and you try to put clothes on them, you try to show them and they can't do it. They have no idea, but they've got shackles on. And they don't even feel it.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, we hold our position. Because when we hold our position in the Word, it's not us that gets glorified. It's Jesus Christ that gets glorified.
Amen.
Amen. You ever think about that? The victories that you win, God gets glory for that. Every single time.
Yeah.
Amen. Put that in the devil's face. Next time a trial comes to you, you look at that devil and say, devil, God is going to get glory by me cutting your head off.
Amen.
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 That's right. We must cast down the imaginations and anything that is contrary to the Word. The disciples were on a ship. They were sharing testimonies about what all God had been doing in that. What was it? They were embracing their testimony of their position. This is what God has called us to. We have seen God do mighty works. God has done these wonderful things. What happens? A storm arises. A trial arises. Why did this trial happen? That God can be glorified. Why did Satan have the ability to rise up the storm so Jesus could say, peace be still? We have to have times of a storm in our life so he can step in and he can step in. We can waken him and say, Jesus, do you care that I perish? Please help us, Lord. And then he can say, peace be still. And what I love about that is the part of Jesus was tired from casting out devils, preaching the gospel, doing all things. He was God in flesh. He felt the temptation. He felt the tiredness. How many's tired tonight? Boy, I thought I'd get a big amen on that one. I got a couple. We get tired in the flesh, absolutely. You know what? Jesus got tired too.
Right.
To the point he went down in the ship, went to sleep. He was exhausted. And in the midst of him being tired, here comes the storm trying to swallow up these disciples that were beholding a move of God in flesh, seeing these things. In the midst of these, what's Satan trying to do? Shake their testimony. Trying to take away their victory out of their life. Because that's what he'll do. Whenever you see God do something in your life, he'll try to take your victory away.
Yeah.
Remember that. Mm-hmm. Anytime you take a step toward him, he'll find you in that way. And what I love about that is when Jesus overcome, he was absolutely a man. When he was tired, he was a man.
Yeah.
Whenever he said, Lazarus, come forth. It was something different than a man.
Yeah.
He wept when he died. He was a man.
Right.
But God, part of him, said, Lazarus, come forth. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a man part of us. We have a man part of us that doubts. Doubts who I am. Doubts if I do this. I'm too tired. Will I ever get my children where I want them to be? Will I ever get my mom or my my brothers or my cousins, whatever it is, that's the flesh.
But then there's something that rises up. It says, greater is he that's in me, that's in you, than he that's in the world. Amen? It's the God part of you, and that's the part, that's the position. That's who we are. That's who we got to embrace, because that's the one that will bring glory to who Jesus Christ is. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm expecting to see them start coming through them doors.
Amen.
I'm expecting it. And you should expect it too.
Amen.
We're going to expect to see our families come back to the Lord. This was a challenge to the position of who Jesus was when Satan rose that storm. You remember that when you have a storm coming in your life, it is a challenge to see, is Jesus who we say that he is? Amen. It's not just you. It's a challenge to him. You know what? If someone was to mess with my wife, she'd say, you don't know how big you've messed up, because you know who my husband is? Brother and sister, we can say the same thing. Right. Devil, do you know who my husband is? Mm-hmm. I'm married to the Word.
Amen.
And you just messed up big time.
Yeah.
Because he's the one, he'll forget everything that I've ever done, but he ain't going to forget what you've done, devil. Mm-hmm. He'll remember every little thing that you caused in this world, devil. Mm-hmm. He's going to remember every bit of it, because there's no blood for you. But praise God, there is for us.
Amen.
You remember that when the devil's coming against you, the pressure's coming against you, you remember, you look at that devil and say, do you know who my husband is? I'm married to the King of Kings.
Amen.
And you just messed up. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, that makes me feel good.
Amen.
Because I can have confidence. I know who my husband is. I know who my Lord is. And that devil's messed up. When he messes with one of my children, all I got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm there messing with my children. I see my children going astray, God. And you know what God does? He looks at me and sees me fretting. Me, his wife. He sees me fretting. And I believe something rises up in the Lord and says, that devil is going to cause my wife to feel this way when she's at the altar and she's crying unto me. That devil's going to rise up against me whenever I see them doing the right thing. I believe it rises something in God where he's ready to exercise his authority in our lives. But brother and sister, we have to do the right thing. We have a right way. There's a provided way. And I believe whenever we present the right attitude, the right approach to God's word, and then we are in distress while we're trying to do the right thing, I believe it puts a fire inside God.
Yeah.
Where he wants to do something for us. You believe that God gets angry for you? I didn't say get angry at you. Gets angry for you. I've said many times, you want to make me feel good? Do something for my family. You really want to make me mad? Do something against my family. Say amen. I believe God's the same way. You want to get set God against you? You start coming against his chosen one. When they're standing on the word and that devil comes against you, you let him do that, God will rise something up, because he already knew he's going to do it anyway. And God's going to put something in you that you can defeat that devil.
Amen.
I believe that we can overcome every single enemy. There will not be an enemy come before us that we cannot overcome.
Amen.
I'm not just saying words. I want you to really take those words of what I'm saying. There is not an enemy that will come toward us that we cannot overcome. Because if we can't overcome him, that means God can't overcome him. And God has already done it. He says, fear not, I have overcome the world. I have already overcome the world. He defeated every sickness. It don't matter if it's cancer. If cancer comes into our body, we have to have that same confidence. Nothing, there's nothing that can come before me that I cannot overcome. Nothing. If it's financial stress coming toward me, there is nothing that can stand before me that I cannot overcome when I'm abiding in the vine. You must abide in the vine. You must abide in the word. You're praying. You're taking the word. You're walking in the light. And when you're doing that, you just be a sheep. You keep bearing those leaves out. And all of a sudden, that's going to come out of you automatically. Why? Because God is going to get glory from it.
Amen.
Amen. You remember that, listen, when you're in the trial, you look that devil in the face. Do not be afraid of that devil. I love that word. The prophet said, do you fear cancer? Don't you be afraid of cancer.
Because God has already paid the price for it. If cancer comes your way, you can overcome cancer.
Amen.
Brother Kenneth says, I'm a winner either way.
Right.
If I go or if I stay. Well, I ain't going to plan on leaving. I'm going to plan on stopping. You say, amen? My last step, my sincere prayer is that I can kick the devil in the mouth one more time.
Amen.
One more time. Amen. Brother Bosworth did. Brother Brennan, what are you doing? He said, what's your best time? Brother Bosworth said, right now. He needs a time to be happy.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. When we have storms in this life, it is just a challenge of who He is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a challenge of who we are. Let's go to, did you know that Jesus actually prayed for us? I know you do. Let's go to St. John chapter 17, verses 8 through 23. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep me through thine own name, whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak to the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I want you to remember this. Put that back for just a second. There are some times he's going to say, this is Bill Daniel, he's not going to say, take them out of the trial. Because God, there's some time you just want to say, Lord, take me out of this trial. I don't want to deal with this anymore. He's not going to do that. Now, there's some times the Lord will. There's some times the Lord will take it away. But brothers and sisters, there's many times he's going to leave the trial there, because whenever you go all the way through the trial, you go all the way through the test, that's when God can get the full glory for it.
Right.
There's a brother, what is that brother's name? He was 90 years old driving T-post.
Earl Metcalf.
Thank you, brother. I knew if I could put a little hint out there to get out there somewhere. Brother Earl Metcalf was a man that worked with the FBI. He got the cancer so bad, he looked like tomato juice on the inside of him. He was so sick. He was so miserable. His wife took him all the way across the states to meet with Brother Branham. And Brother Branham met him at the door. And whenever she came to the door, didn't call in advance, just come there. And he opened the door and said, hello, Miss Metcalf, I've been expecting you. And he prays for, and you know the story. She come inside there and expecting some dynamic prayer for Brother Branham to pray for him. And he just said, he's here now, let's pray. And he said, Lord, we just ask you to heal my brother. And that was it. You know, Sister Metcalf expected a huge prayer. When they left, he said, something stopped. They expected that to end right there. But whenever she got home, he got worse. He got sickness. And then that brother got to the point, he was so sick, he was laying on the bed, and he said, God, you're going to have to take this away from me. I can't do this anymore. And the Lord put a sharp rebuke down to him. He says, I'm taking it away, but this was me that did that. You know, he wanted that trial to end right then. And there's many times, I want to point to you. There are some times, brother and sister, we want that trial to end right now. But sometimes it's not going to. But it's not because you're a bad person. It's because God wants to take you all the way through so that God can get the full glory of the testimony of what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I tell you what, when this girl couldn't walk, it would have been a whole lot easier if it had just been 1 week or 2 weeks before the healing. But, you know, with Abraham, it would have been a whole lot easier if it had been 1 or 2 years. But how many years did he make Abraham walk by faith before he would finally say, now I'm going to do it?
Yeah.
Amen. So let me read this again. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. and thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I these for these alone, and this is where it comes into us. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Isn't that fascinating that God in flesh prayed for us? Why did he do that? Because he knew there'd be some time when we need to be encouraged.
Amen.
And we would need to look at that and say, he prayed for me.
Amen.
Because it's not for him, it was for us. Do you think he needed to pray to himself? He didn't have to. He did that for us. To set an example for us that he prayed for you, that when you stay with this truth, that God would make you one, even as he is one.
Amen.
Amen. That's our desire. Jesus Christ is glorified in us when we are sanctified and when we walk in the words that he gave to us. Jesus just saying that he was the Lamb of God and dying on the cross was one thing, but it was when he took his life up. That's what made the difference. And when it's whenever we say that we have a message of the hour, we say that God sent a prophet, we say that we got, that's one thing. But it's when our life is a replica, our life is producing something from that. That's when Jesus Christ gets the glory from it. But it's whenever we are walking in that truth. And brothers, I want to see more of it in me. How about you? I want to see the manifestation. What spoke to me when I saw reading the prophet of Israel, South Africa, and I saw that how that the Spirit of God was coming so strong, and those women began to cover themselves up automatically because the Spirit of God was so strong. It sparked something in me. When I saw that, I said, that's a whole, I've always believed that he's a holy God. Mm-hmm. I believe he's a Holy Spirit. And brother, sister, if we can, whenever we can walk with that same experience right now, what a testimony of how down all through the ages, not just back there whenever they were with Jesus in the flesh in that way, but right now, we are Jesus in the flesh. Right now, because we don't go by feelings. We don't go by emotions. We are walking by faith. You know, they say, LaFontaine's priest sung a song, is this she? And I think that's if there's ever been a revelation song, that's the handle you need to practice at.
Amen.
Is this sheep? Because you're expecting, you see Paul, you see this one, you see this one. This will be the one we want to look at because of the trials that they've gone through, the tests that they've gone through. We're expecting these will be the them in the dark ages. They would be the one we need to look at. But whenever the bride comes in this hour through Laodicea, everything will be quiet and say, is this she? Is this her? Whenever it's absolutely dark, when it's absolutely a trial in every form. I'm going to show you something. Brother Miller, he and I had a very good fellowship the other day. And we're talking about how me and Vic are fixing to go to Managua. And he said, Brother Daniel, and I think you'd be okay with me sharing this testimony. He said, Brother Daniel, the first time I ever went to Managua, he said, I was actually about your age now. He said, whenever I went there. He said, the first time I was going to go into service, he said, brother, they had the most horrendous, just the worst rock and roll music you could ever imagine. Blasting right beside me so hard that the walls were shaking. He said, it was so demonic that I couldn't even hardly sleep. He said, and I'm praying to myself, Lord, praying to the Lord and myself, saying, Lord, help me get through this. Please, God, while I'm here as your servant, why would you not just stop the music? That I can pray, that I can be at leisure where I can really hear from you so I can really bring forth this message. He said, and the next night was even worse. He said, I was just praying, Lord, help me. And he said, just the worst perverted music you could ever imagine. He said, and then I was praying, he said, and the Lord spoke to me. And this is just profound to me. He said, the Lord told me, he said, I have to bring you here and make you feel this so you can see what these people are dealing with daily basis. This is what my people are going through. Now you know how to help them. And brothers and sisters, may I say this for our families. Remember, these are the battles that's out there. That's what they're fighting every day of their life. of every demonic influence pulled from every single different direction. And they're, you know, these young people that have no direction in their life, and they're going so far astray and having premarital sex and kissing and doing all these things at a young age, and young boys doing the same thing. You see them smoking cigarettes and doing the vapes and doing the marijuana and drinking the alcohol and doing, brother and sister, it's an oppression that's on them that they don't know what to do. They're bound. There's nothing so sad to see a person that's bound and don't know what to do. And then the last thing that they need is some religious person walking by and saying, snarl their nose at. They get that everywhere. What they need is somebody to show them how to be free. Somebody that can walk with a little, like Brother Brown was saying, one of them. You know, he was going to the airplane. And the airplane couldn't leave. And the Lord took him and had him start walking. He was saying, one of them. And he was going through here, and he didn't know where he was going. He was just following the Lord. And that little woman was sitting there leaning with dew on her face. And she said, hello, parson. I've been watching for you. She said, my son is in the bed back here, and said he's got a venereal disease. And he's going to die. He's laying on the bed. And Brother Brennan went in there to go in there to see this boy that's dying on a bed. Now catch it. This boy, you have to realize what he was going through. How did he get in that condition? He was a prisoner. He was bound. And those devils were coming at them nonstop, every direction. He was looking for an affection. And that devil gave an affection. And it ended up in a venereal disease. And this trial, this little boy sitting there, I said, oh boy, it's a teenage boy, I guess, laying on the bed, said, oh mama, it's cold. Oh mama, it's dark. Oh mama. Oh, mama, this little boy drifting. Imagine that mama seeing her baby boy that's going to die a sinner in a venereal disease. What a terrible way for him to die. Imagine her whenever that baby was inside her belly. And imagine the ideas and the dreams and the visions that she had for this baby. I'm going to raise this boy to serve the Lord. I'm going to raise this boy that he'll fear the Lord. I'm going to raise him respectful. I'm going to raise him where he'll be a good young man. I'm going to raise him right. Imagine this mother had all these great intentions of this child, but here she raised it the best she could, but somehow, somewhere down the road, something happened. And from that day on, that boy threw into one sickness or one filthy thing to another until finally he's got a venereal disease. Finally, he's so bound, so filthy that no preacher would probably want to go see him. But here was a prophet. They come to visit him. He says, we want to pray. And he said, you pray and then I won't pray. He said, and that mama began to pray. And I like this, what he said. He said, and that woman talked to him before. She began, I loved it. And I don't mean this in a prejudiced way. I love to hear a black woman preach. Or preach, I didn't mean that. A black woman pray. You know what I'm talking about. I love to hear her pray. Because they pray with enthusiasm. They pray with soul. And I like that. When we worship, I like to worship with soul. I like to have something coming out of me. Amen? Mm-hmm. I love Brother Tony preaching. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking with me. That's me. My last name's Black. I think I should be Black. I think I've been pretty good at it. I think I got the rhythm for it. I love it because they have something about them where they can let go of this flesh and they'll get the Spirit. They'll dance, they'll shout, they'll scream. They don't care who's looking at. I wish that we'd get more like that. Because you know what? When you're shouting and you're dancing, it's because you got some victory. Right. That's what Mary and Peter, they had some victory. They had the trampoline. They were praising the Lord. David was praising the Lord. Why? Because there was victory. Amen. You know, and then, I love that how this woman was praying. And Brother Graham said she had talked to him before. And then he went to praying. He said, oh, Lord, oh, Mama, I see the light, Mama. And you know the story. God absolutely healed that boy. And several tapes down the road and years down the road, Brother Brenham says he goes at a train station and said he's going out there, and some little black boy said, hey, Possum, it's me. I was the one you prayed for. And I saved, too. I love the way he said that. You know what? It was a work that lasted. It wasn't like a Billy Graham service where they just come to the altar and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. And they go right back out the doors and live the same old life. You know, Brother Branham talked about that. How about Billy Graham would say, I can go to a city and leave 10,000 to the Lord. I come back, I can't find 10. And Brother Graham talked about it. He said, it's because you need a several day meeting there to where they can preach and die out to that old man. Where you can die. Where you say, God, cause this old man inside me to die. Yeah. I love it. You know what? It's a lot of times you want the preacher to do the praying, but you've got to do the praying. Yeah. You've got to seek it out. You've got to struggle with it. You know, a woman don't know how to have a baby. But all of a sudden, she starts having contractions that will start taking place. There'll be stuff happening inside of her. It's something that's natural on the inside of you. And listen to me. Spiritually speaking, brothers and sisters, you can have contractions. Spiritual contractions happen on the inside of you. And what it is, it's God is trying to present you to a genuine birth.
Amen.
Where you are a new creature. Mm-hmm. And they'll come in waves. Those contractions will come in waves. I remember my wife would see that. Her old toes would curl and she'd go, eee! And this, you'd see that machine go up, however it did. I can't remember. Like, I think it was a contraction. And then you go away for a little bit. And a contraction. Go away for a little bit. And a contraction. And in your walk with the Lord, you'll go through that time where God will just spark on the inside of you, or just a purge on the inside of you. What is it? It's like a spiritual contraction. God is burning something on the inside of you. You know what happens a lot of times? A person that's got, a woman that's got a baby inside her womb, that baby is alive as long as it's connected to the umbilical cord. But as soon as you take it off the umbilical cord, it dies. Because it's solely depending on the mama. It doesn't have what it needs to take that breath of fresh air. You can spat it on the hind end and take a breath. And spiritually speaking, there's a lot of people that are just like that baby that's connected to the umbilical cord. As long as they are in church, they're alive. But as soon as they're outside the church and they're away from the umbilical cord, you can't tell them no more than anything until they get back to church.
Yeah.
And plug them back into that umbilical cord. Not saying that they're bad people, but if they've got to come to a birth.
Amen.
We got to come to a birth on the inside of us where you are eating the word yourself. You're not just depending on the preacher to feed you. You're not just depending, because well, that's what the preacher's there for. He's to break bread with you. He's to give the word to you. But brother and sister, it goes beyond that to where when you are outside those doors, you can take the word and you begin to eat yourself. And you may start with applesauce. You may start with the ABCs of the scriptures. You may start with Jesus loves me and talking to me. But eventually you're going to start going to that stronger meat. And that stronger meat that's going to make you a strong Christian is when you're not. It's not what happens just on Wednesdays and Sundays. It's what you're doing at home.
Right.
It's whenever you're taking the spoon yourself, you're taking the knife yourself, and you're taking this word yourself. You're taking the tapes yourself, and you're beginning to eat the word yourself. You want to see, do I got the birth? Are you eating the word?
Yeah.
Because the word, this right here is the evidence of life. Whenever there's something inside here that's craving the word, believe me, I like to eat. You can tell by looking at me, I like to eat. But you know what? If you're eating just the world, and you're doing all you got's the movies or the sports and all these different things, I'm not saying it's wrong to have to know of some of those things.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're going to go to hell because of them. But you ought to know more about this.
That's right.
You ought to know more about whenever you're hearing certain language talked about the prophet, about the message. There should be, you should be catching on to the language. Because if you walk with the king long enough, you'll begin to talk like him.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm going to read a quote here about Samson. What happened to Samson? And brother, sister, it happens today too. Get my eyeballs to zoom in. Just have to quote it. I'm going to take too much time on it. Here we go. Well, no, I didn't. I'll just quote it to you.
when you go back and study it. Brother Brim talks about Samson. He said Samson was doing okay. He said, but Samson started keeping bad company. He said, whenever Samson started keeping bad company, that was the downfall towards Samson. Because that's whenever I opened the door of opportunity, where it was the spiral down. And listen, this is what I want to hammer this down to you. Really take this home and think about it. Bad company will corrupt you. You keep hanging around the same old friends. You keep doing the same whenever they're not serving the Lord. I'm not talking you have to be friends with a message believer. That's it. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm telling you what, if you're spending your life and you're walking with people that are not serving the Lord and you keep hanging out with them, you keep talking to them, you keep doing things, listen to me, you will start taking on their habits.
That's right.
You will start letting down the bars. And the reason I say that, if they wanted to be around the pure word, they would want to be in church.
Amen.
But if they don't, it's because there's something wrong. What are they attracted to? There has to be something. And Brother Benham talked about the cistern and how there's an environment inside that cistern that welcomes the tadpoles, the wiggle room, the snakes and all these things. There's an atmosphere that's attracting them. Whenever you are walking with the Word, and there should not, those things should not want to be hanging around you. If they are, what is it?
Right.
Amen. Got to change. If you hang around bad behavior too long, you're going to start thinking like, and when you start thinking like it, you're going to start acting like it. Amen. Let's all stand. Because it's going to try to come against your position. You've got a position in this word. God has a perfect image of who each one of us is. And Satan's coming against that image. And he'll do that through thoughts. He'll come through friends. He'll come through music. He'll come through movies. He'll come through. I'm not talking about trying to be legalistic and where you're just walking my lawns all the time. But it's a reality that bad manners, hanging around bad habits, will produce bad manners in our life. It will happen. You can have kids out there and you've got dog poo out in a certain part of the yard. And you can say, do not go around that part of the yard. Now the kid may say, that's nonsense. There's no reason why I can't come over here and play over here. But as an adult, you know why. Mm-hmm. There's something over here and you're going to get it on you.
Right.
And listen to me, you keep hanging around real good friends, you're going to get it on you and then you're going to pay the price for it.
Right.
Because that mama's going to whip your hind end because you've got to wash your dirty clothes now. Mm-hmm. Spiritually speaking. Because you know what? God will clean you back up because you're one of His.
Amen.
But if you keep hanging around worldly friends, it will corrupt your manners. It will start affecting your walk. It will start bringing you down. It's unfelt shackles. Amen. Amen. That's what I need to come for. I need to get off my soapbox. I pray you got something from it.
Amen.
Brother, sister, we got a position. And I hope you don't ever look at me as some arrogant somebody, or Brother Tony the same way, of some arrogant of somebody trying to say, be holy like me, because we're in this fight together.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace that you put into our lives. I ask you, Lord, that you would just touch each heart tonight, Lord. And Lord, may something have been said tonight that would, Lord, it would give them something to feed on until the following service, Lord, or until their next prayer meeting with you, Lord. We love you. I commit everything to you. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
Can we say amen?
Amen, amen.
You know what Brother Daniel was saying about, you know, getting around the wrong crowd. You know, when I've watched this throughout the years in the church, and you see young people, and they grow up, and they get them a job, or they, you know, going to school, or those sorts of things, and you see that happen. You see them hanging around with the wrong crowd. And if you remember that story about the colored boy there from Memphis, she raised him the right way. She raised him, but just like she said, he got around the wrong crowd. That's what happened to him.
That's right.
And so we know that that's a serious thing. And it breaks my heart to see You know, because you know when these young people are getting out and they begin to, they're going to transition from being a teenager into an adult, and they're going to come into contact with more of the world, and they, you've got to guard that. Mm-hmm. You've got to guard what you've been taught and what you've been given, because that's where Satan's going to come in. I told my children when they was getting grown and beginning to move out, look, you're fixing to start making decisions in your life that mom and dad won't be able to reverse. Right, so you got to be careful. Watch over those things, and so we know that's good information there. So, as he was reading, cast down every imagination. You know, I remember when he said that. I remember as a kid the times I'd have to go do something outside and it was dark, and you're always afraid something out there. You know, I remember one time I got a brand new pair of boots, just put them on, and I had to go out behind the house. We had a shed out there, and that's actually where our clothes dryer was, and so I had to go out there and take some clothes out there to put in the clothes dryer or whatever, and my stepdad had a welding machine rental business, so he worked on things, and there was things laying around out there, and I got scared of the dark, think something was after me, and took off running, and I messed around and tripped over something, some piece of metal there that had to do with the welding machine, and put a big old thing right on a brand new pair of boots. And I'm saying all that is nothing, your imagination, nothing that I ever imagined out there in the dark ever got me.
Yeah.
It was always a lie.
Yeah.
You know? And so your imagination is something Satan wants to use against you. But anything that comes through that channel, cast it down.
Yeah.
Right? Every imagination and anything high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. And so when he said that, I got thinking the other day, I saw this article, just a headline, I didn't really read it, but where science is saying that the earth is now not spinning at the right rate. It's, you know, the audacity for them to say that the earth is spinning at the wrong rate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Science exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ Jesus, you know, cast that stuff down.
Amen.
Right? There won't even be any science where we're going. There won't be cell phone, automobile, airplane, anything like that, because Brother Rim said we won't need it.
Amen.
So it's not going to be there when we go there. Amen. And so we know the scripture says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When Brother Daniel was saying that, I was thinking the other day something pretty much along the same lines was you know, there's nothing that we can't overcome.
Amen.
Right? And so might be it comes with battles, but we can overcome everything because it's Christ in us. Amen. And so, you know, when my wife and I, I've told the story when we buried our son. You know, sometimes God has to take you through the trial. He cannot take it away from you. And I really hope that, you know, that he would do that, would take that trial away. But he didn't take the trial away. And that was the one thing when we had the funeral, been raining all day, cloudy all day. It was raining. We were sitting under the pavilion. It was sitting there raining. And my wife had asked Brother Sidney Dean to sing that song, Sunlight. And when he stepped up there to that podium and started singing that song, a hole opened up in the cloud. Is that right, Aunt Mary?
Yes.
Hole opened up in the cloud, just like a spotlight shining on us. Still raining, but just shining like a spotlight. As soon as Brother Sidney finished singing that song, he quit. And that's the thing the Lord spoke to me in that. When that happened, he said, "Son, I cannot take this away from you, but I want you to know I'm here with you."
Amen.
Right? And so sometimes, And you know, you when that happened, you could hear the mumble across the crowd. They all noticed it. You could hear it. I had a tape recorder taping, and you could hear it on tape. You know, God has to take you through things sometimes. You know, and so because the full glory can only come when you come out on the other side. Amen. And so we want to remember that. Remember, as he was talking about what these, like, what them people down there in Central America have to deal with, right? And so the Lord would let Brother Miller see that. We need to remember what people's having to deal with. These young people are dealing with these things that Brother Dan was talking about. And we need to remember that the Laodicean age went into total and complete darkness.
Right?
So that world out there is totally and completely dark. Right? But you've got to remember also that the message said it's shalom.
Amen.
It's good morning. It's a new day for us. And so we have to remember that. It is a new day for those of us. And so it is shalom. Let's go to Psalm 650. I don't know what key you sing that in, but that comes to mind. I just looked it up there a while ago.
Oh.